Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. How are you? Some of you are okay, and the rest are not sure. But generally speaking, you're in good shape, right? Considering the shape you're in. I do not have slides today. I just want to talk to you, and I'm giving you sermon notes, and probably of the messages that I have shared here with you. This is the kind of message that you might want to put away for reference. And basically, I have taken a progression of circumstances and deliverance, and I've placed them so that you can read them. August 24, 2005, we experienced one of the greatest hurricanes this world has seen. I think one of the most tragic things about this is that we saw bodies floating on top of the water, helicopters overhead, and no deliverance. One lady waited on top of her house and shared how she could not believe that deliverance looked so close, and yet it was so far away. The state legislature blamed the federal government. The federal government blamed the state governor. The governor blamed the mayor. And it went round and round and round. We shipped hundreds, if not thousands, of trailers to those victims of Katrina. And guess what? Many of those trailers still lie in a field, in mud. They were never delivered. There was people that relocated. Some went to Atlanta. And the landscape of New Orleans will be changed forever. I'm watching this thing on television. One lady said that she could hear a sound like a wind tunnel as it went over. And the roof said goodbye. And I'm thinking to myself, is this the beginning of the end of the world? New Orleans, you know, is shaped like a bowl. Lake Pontchartrain is just beyond the city limits, and they had, in these different areas of New Orleans, levees. And when the levee broke, the water not seeped, but came gushing in. And I just wonder how many have levees in their life that are about to break and let the enemy in and destroy everything they have stood for. When I think about struggles that many are going through, I realize more than ever that we need the presence of the Lord to guide and direct in our lives. These are uncertain times. And yet, in spite of that, God answers prayer. Brother Mark Hersher and I anointed Henry Viega Thursday evening. Yesterday, Glenda called me. He had surgery. And she said that after the prayers, he had no pain. And the doctor said, you're going to be all right. From sitting here in church to being operated on. Can you see, ladies and gentlemen, how things can change in your life in a moment? You know, when I heard the stories of Katrina, there was a sense, and I said to my wife, honey, what's going to happen next? I watched Man vs. Wild. I don't know if you've ever seen it on the History Channel. How many of you have seen it? Sure you have. Bear Grylls. And he went through the New Orleans panhandle up toward Florida. And I could not believe my eyes. Here was a mansion of a house that had been moved off its foundation, probably 2 miles up into the Everglades. With children's toys still on the porch. One has to assume that something must have happened to that family. And when I saw that, I said, Christine, come here quick. Do you know the storm forever changed the landscape of the Gulf? I pastored in the Gulf region of Florida, and I know it will never be the same. Oh, how I love Florida. When I drive down And I arrived toward the Florida coast from Savannah. I say, oh yes, I can see the palm trees. And I know that I'm coming into beautiful Florida. And that's beautiful in March. But don't drive in August. The humidity is 98%. You can put a fresh shirt on, walk from your car to the church, and you're soaked. But oh, it's beautiful. But one of the hardest things to bear is to look at how the Everglades were completely inundated. People lost their jobs. Companies that had been there for 50 years closed their doors. And guess what? That is happening today. Companies are closing. This new health plan, said Caterpillar, will cost us millions. We doubt if we're going to be able to survive. I do not believe that the Seventh-day Adventist Church is aware of the rapidity of events that are happening around us. I'll tell you why. Most of the time in our lives, we live for ourselves. We don't mean to, but we do. We're worried about our own problems. Are you with me? We're worried about our concerns. We're not worried about the concerns of other things. And often, we do not want to hear or watch television because it's so negative. Raise your hand. The only certainty in this world is uncertainty. The only certainty I have is the uncertainty. Listen to Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. Some of these I'll have you turn to, but most I just want to give to you for your admonition. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, I'll add rain and sunshine, and the day and the night shall not cease. Listen to this. This text tells me the world will be intact until the Lord allows the final events to erase it. I do not have to worry. They will be marrying and what? Giving in marriage up until the day the Lord comes. One cannot be familiar with the Adventist message, especially how we view the events surrounding the return of Christ, and not have a sense that we are seeing the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. A scripture that stood out for me and for years has become one of my favorite is 1 Chronicles 12:32, and many of you know that text, ladies and gentlemen, of the sons of Issachar who had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. Maybe it's time to know what Israel ought to do. Turn your Bible to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. Oh, the book of Acts is a dynamite book. I've been reading through the New Testament again, and oh, the book of Acts, especially the Acts of the Apostles. And by the way, do not forget the Acts of the Apostles follow the Gospels. We have no act without Jesus. Okay, here it is. Acts 13 and verse 36. For David, after he had served his own what? What does your Bible say? His own generation. You are not called here to serve yourself. You are called to serve this generation. Now listen to this. He fell asleep. You want to know what death is? He fell asleep. Was buried with his fathers and saw corruption. His body decayed. If I die today, they're going to transport my body back to Vermont. And I will be buried next to my father and mother. And I agree with the statement made a little bit earlier. It's okay. I live or I die. That's not the key issue. The key issue is to see Jesus Christ. That's the key issue. Listen to the next verse. But he whom God raised up saw no corruption. Therefore, let it be known, brethren, that through this man, that is Jesus, is preached to you forgiveness of sins, and by him everyone who believes is justified from all things which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. I do not care how long you try, how hard you try to make yourself acceptable. It is only through the blood of Jesus Christ that you are accepted. Turn to Luke chapter 21 for a moment. Luke chapter 21. I want you to use your Bibles a little today. Luke chapter 21. Please begin reading there in verse 25. Luke 21, verse 25. By the way, I'm beginning to realize it's a little more difficult than I thought to preach two churches of my age.
And yet, the Holy Spirit's touching lives down there, so as long as God gives me strength, I will continue to proclaim the word.
And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on earth, what does the Bible say? Distress of what? Listen, Jesus predicted these times with perplexity. Have you ever been perplexed? The sea waves roaring. Why? What's he talking about? Well, prophetically, if you want to read this through the book of Revelation as well, the sea represents nation, tongues, and people roaring. Chaos. You know what I believe? I believe before Jesus comes, the landscape of America is going to drastically change. And you're going to see perhaps a civil war here in this country. What a statement from Mrs. White, where she talks about slavery. She said just before Jesus comes, it will be repeated again against God's people. My brothers and sisters, the King is coming, and He is coming soon. Now listen to this. Men's hearts failing them for fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. Expectation. For they then shall see the Son of Man coming in a cloud, and that's the cloud of angels, Psalm 68, Psalm 104, with power and great glory. And when these things begin to happen, do what? Say it with me. Lift up your heads. Redemption draweth nigh. Verse 17 of Luke 21 tells me, and you will be hated by all men. Be hated by all for my name's sake. Hated by all. Tragedies will continue. Jeremiah the prophet says, thus says the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, not of peace. Ask now and see whether a man is ever in labor or with child. Of course not. Men don't give birth. So why do I see every man with his hands on his loins like a woman in labor and all faces turned pale? Why? Alas, for that great day is great, so that none is like it, and it is the time of Jacob's trouble, and yet ye shall be saved out of it. Revelation chapter 6, 17 closes with the words, who is able to stand? Who can stand? Between the sixth and seventh seal is a parenthesis. Hiatus. Revelation chapter 7 tells me, who will stand? And I saw the angel ascending from the east, verse 2, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea, saying, do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees. Why trees? Because God's people are represented as trees of righteousness. Do not harm them until I have sealed the servants of God in their foreheads. Oh, I want the seal of God in my forehead. Amen. Yes, there are other storms that we face. And I've put in your notes some text that I want you to look at when you're home. Romans chapter 5. I went through it at Winston, but I want to spend more time on the circumstances. You see there, Romans chapter 5, we are justified, we have peace with God, we have access, that's a sanctuary word, we have access into grace. Why? Behind the veil, we have hope behind the veil. He is my anchor in the troubling times I live in. So who can separate us? Who can accuse us? The word is obviously answered, who? None. And then Romans 8, you read it later, all things work for good. Now, you know what's interesting is the Bible translation of that. The Bible says, all things work together, what? Say it with me. For the good to those that love God. That's a little bit twisting of the Greek. In the original language, it says this, that in all things, God works together for the good. In all things, not all things work together. It's a way of saying that God allows tragedy, He allows struggles, He shapes your life, but in these things, all things work out. Would you say amen? All things work out for the good. And God is for me. Who can be against us? Oh, I love Romans. I was talking one day to probably one of the most despised men in Adventism, Desmond Ford. And I asked him what his favorite text is. And he said, Romans 8. And he wrote it in my Bible.
There are things I disagree with him on. Prophecy is one. But I'll tell you, my all-night studies in the book of Romans and Galatians transformed my heart. And my wife said, "Will you come to bed? Will you come to bed?" You've heard me say it before. I said, "I can't." And then I found it. If God be for us, who can be against us? Who can separate us from the love of God? The answer is nothing, no one. Greater is he in me than he that's in the world. Would you agree with that? Let me give you some circumstances. And what I have here is, if you take these, my brothers and sisters, there is a progression from here on. There is a progression. I'm giving you a progression with a circumstance that you may face, and the Bible promised to answer that. You know what I would do if I were you? I would put it in my Bible like this. See, I have one on the latter rain that I preached on. I would put it in my Bible. Why? Because I may be going through one of those circumstances. Are you with me? I don't mean to say that to be redundant. I want to keep you on your toes so you're listening and you're watching and you're hearing what I'm saying. Sometimes we can come to church and it goes like a jet right over our heads. And we leave and we say, "No, wasn't that nice? Well, what did you hear?" "I don't know, but it sounded good." Do you know what I'm saying? It sounded good, but I don't know what he said. Well, I want you to hear me. That's why I ask you to be with me. So please, don't misunderstand. I'm not trying to be redundant. I'm not trying to play with your emotions. I want you to be prepared to meet Jesus. That's all. Okay, number one, when you look at your past life, you have it there in your notes, and you see only a lost life with opportunities gone from bad what? Decisions. "Choose ye this day whom you serve," said Joshua. Well, what do? I personally met people, listen to this, who look at their life and they just don't know what to do. Homeless, jobless, helpless. They don't know what to do. I said before that we need to look at what we have left, not just what we have lost. As long as you have breath in your life, you can still hear that small voice of God talking to you, and you are promised he is with you still. Well, what happens when you look at a life of lost years? Lost life. I could have been this. I should have done that. Should have, could have, would have. What if we had ministered differently? What if I had said something a little different to my son? How would he have responded to that? If I had it to do over again, my dear friends, what would I do differently? Well, you know, you can be caught so much in the would have, could have, should have, that you never, ever receive. He has. He will. So here's the promise found in Joel. It's in your notes, so we'll just cover it. "Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God." Rejoice. "For he has given you the former rain which came in the fall of the year, and he will cause the rain to come down for you." The former and what? The latter rain in the first month. The latter rain fell in Israel in the months of March and April. We are in the time of the latter rain. Why? Because it ripens the harvest. Right? It ripens the harvest. Here's what God says again. Listen to this. "I will restore," verse 25, "to you the years the swarming locust has eaten." The crawling locust, the consuming locust, the chewing locust, these became an army for God that he allowed to plague Israel. "My great army which I sent among you, and you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be put to shame." And then look at verse 27. "Then you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel. I am the Lord your God, and there is no other." And what God is saying to you and me, my precious friends, is this. You may have experienced lost years in your life, lost weeks. Mary lost Jesus for what? 3 days. Not just one. You read the context.
Some of us go week after week after week and we make poor decisions, but God says, I will make up for your lack. What a God. Number two, when you're at an impasse and you don't know which way to turn and it seems like everything is against you in life, and there are people, ladies and gentlemen, who have experienced that. 2 Chronicles 20 says, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might so that no one is able to withstand you? I like that. God, are you not still on the throne? And then verse 12. O our God, will you not judge them? That's the army, the battle I'm facing. For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us. Nor do we know what to do. But our eyes are what? On you. We don't know what to do, but we're going to keep our eyes on you. So here's the promise. Verse 17. Oh, I love this. And you have other scriptures. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourself. Ephesians chapter 5 and 6 says, take your stand. I stand on the Word of God. I stand on the grace of Jesus Christ. Here is my stand. I shall not be moved. I take my stand. And you will see the salvation of the Lord who is with you. O Jude and Jerusalem, do not fear nor dismay. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. That sounds great. Go out against this army. I'm going to battle this thing coming against my life. I don't care what happens. I'm going to battle against it. How? I don't know. But the Lord said to go. So I am going to go. I know this. I will not fight in this battle. You're not going to fight in this last battle. You are not. This will be the battle of God Almighty. You will not fight. Number three, when it appears that God is not listening. Have you ever talked to God and sometimes it appears like He is just not responding? Do you know what I think, my dear people? That the older you grow, the more often there is a parenthesis or a hiatus between your prayers and answer. Because you're growing in grace and trusting more in faith. That's what God wants you to do. Because you do not see the answer does not mean He has not answered. It would take a long time to tell you the nights I've come home and prayed and said, Lord, I don't understand. And God responds later on by telling me, I didn't ask you to understand. It's not your business to understand me. I'm consistent, but I am not predictable. Number three, when it appears God is not listening, what happens? Listen to this. Now, it happened in the process of time that the king of Egypt died. Circumstances changed. How many of you have experienced the last year a change in circumstances? Raise your hand. So you know circumstances change. You could be sitting in church today, have a heart attack tomorrow. Stop breathing tonight. Circumstances change. We live in an uncertain time. And then the children of Israel groaned because of the bondage. And they cried out, and their cry came up to God because of their bondage. And here's the promise. Exodus 2:24. I want you to see the progression. So God heard. Would you say the word please? Heard. Heard their groaning. I'm crying to God. Where are you? He says, I hear. God remembered, number two. He heard. He remembered His covenant with Abraham and Isaac and with Jacob. In chapter 3, 7 through 8. And the Lord said, and I have seen, I heard, listen, I remembered, I have seen the oppression of my people in Egypt, and I've heard their cry because of their taskmaster. For I know. Now let's go through it. I heard, I remembered, I seen, I know. That's God. I know. Let's try it again. I heard, I've remembered, I've seen, I know. And then there's a fifth. I'm coming down. I'm coming down. You need to see me. There is a time in your life when you need to see God. You need to feel God. You need to hear God. God needs to be present to you in a way that you have not experienced Him before. Would you say amen to that? There are times when you need to see God. And so He comes down to deliver. Oh, I love that. I love that.
Number four, when you're tempted to think that while God may be with you, He may hear you, He may have given up on you. I remember having a series of meetings and a young man about 18 years old came running up to the front and he was crying. I mean, he was not just pretending, he was crying. He said, I've done it. I've committed the unpardonable sin. I play in a rock band. I said, you do? I asked him, how old are you? Well, I'm 18. I've been playing since I was 15. Oh, could this kid play guitar? And he said, my life is gone. I said, no, your life is not gone. Well, how can you tell me that? I said, because you just said you feel your life is gone. If it were not for the Holy Spirit, you would feel nothing. Are you with me? I remember another man, he said, God convicts me all the time. He follows me around like a dog, and I feel guilty all the time. I said, I'll tell you what I will do for you. I will pray that God will leave you alone. Oh, don't you do that. How many of you want God on your track? Oh, yes. I want you, Lord. Keep after me. Listen to what David said. Truly, God's good to Israel. He's good to other people, but to such as are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet have almost stumbled, my steps have nearly slipped. He said, he may be good for you, but he's not good for me. And then the promise, when Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. I taught Ephraim to walk, taking them by their arms. They did not know that I healed them. How can I give you up? Oh, I remember my granddaughter with her first steps. We were in a preschool at Arizona Family Center, a church that we had planted in Phoenix. And here she was, this little toddler, and she would be with all these children in the preschool. And whenever she had something, all the children would come over, 25 of them. Instead of arguing, she'd let them have it, and she would go elsewhere. Oh, she was the funniest little girl. And I remember the day she learned how to walk. She'd stumble like this, and she'd stumble over here, and she'd do this. And just like my own daughter, I walked up and I said, Jennifer, watch. And I reached out and I put my hands on her waist. And that little wobbling straightened up. And she took a step. Oh my. You ever try to take a picture of that with a VCR weighing 20 pounds? That was the old VCRs, you know. Here I am, quick, we need a picture of this. Oh, this is so good, and I'm carrying this thing. It's like a tank on my shoulder, you know. It was very heavy. I still have it. I don't suppose anybody else wants it, you know, it's not. I can't give it to you, but I know the times that God taught me how to walk. Number five, when deep inside you just don't feel you're God's child. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. Some of us walk around with so much condemnation in our lives, we don't know what to do with it. But listen to 1 John 3. By this we know we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. For if our hearts condemn us, God is what? Greater than our hearts. I'll let you read John 3, 1 through 3. I love the Word of God. Number six, when thinking about my children, I worry about their salvation. I've led them to the Lord, and I don't know if they're saved. Oh, my, oh, my, oh, my. Is that a biggie for you? Raise your hand. Sure it is. Sure it is. Train up a child the way she'll go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Proverbs 22:6. Listen to this. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the captives of the righteous be delivered? But thus says the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. For I will contend with Satan. I will contend with him who contends with you, and I will what? Oh, I will save your children. Oh, yes. Behold, Psalm 27:3, the children are a heritage of the Lord. You know, if you teach a child the truth, they always know it. My daughter was 13 and she was attending academy, and a friend of hers, I watched it. We were at the beach in Florida, and a girl came up. What faith are you? She said, I'm a Seventh-day Adventist Christian. And the girl said, Seventh-day Adventist? You must be one of those who keep Saturday. She said, oh, yes, it's beautiful. I love the Sabbath. And then she went on to give this little girl a Bible study at the shores of the ocean. And I'm thinking, how in the world, I never saw that, did I realize this girl was going to do that. Train a child in the way he shall go, and when they're old, they will not depart from him. Oh, they may leave a while, you've left a while. But let me tell you something about Jesus. He does not leave even a while. I wonder if serving Jesus is really worth all this. Imagine living now in New Orleans. You've lost everything. Remember the question of Peter in Matthew 19? See, we have left all and followed you. What shall we have? And here's Jesus' promises. I say to you, Matthew 19, 28 and 29, that in the regeneration, that's when I come, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of His glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. During 1,000 years, God's people are going to sit in judgment. Oh my. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters, oh, fathers or mothers, sisters, or wife, or children, or lands for my sake shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has entered in the heart of man the things that God has in store for those who love Him. When I wrote this sermon, I said, God, I need this message. Now, life may be going well for you right now. You know what I want to tell you from my heart? Hang on to your seatbelt. Behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me to give everyone according to his work. And listen to this, Revelation 22, 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him who hears come, and let him with thirst come. Whoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely. I love that. Listen to this. You probably saw it in the paper. Parents await the emotional return of son's former ship. Was in Wednesday's paper. David Mudge, 22 years old, lost his life on the USS Rents. And when they heard the ship was coming into harbor, the family wanted to fly down. Larry said, I'm going down to see the ship my son was on. He said they made plans to welcome the ship home in order that after hearing from the ship's captain that Rents would arrive in port soon, Larry said the captain planned to visit the family in Douglas County. Mudge said they decided to drive down instead from there. Family members received word from the Navy. Now listen to this. There's a spiritual application here that they would be shuttled out by a tugboat and will ride into port in the USS Rents. It kind of snowballed, said Larry, since I talked to the captain. The Mudges are waiting to receive the instant report about their son, but then, in the meantime, they're on their way to be shuttled out by a tugboat to the great USS Rents. My brother was on the USS Enterprise. I never had the opportunity to be on a ship. I was based in Germany, so I didn't have that. And I was in the Army. One day soon, God is not going to send an advance party. Oh, no, 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 no tugboat. He's going to come with everything heaven has into this harbor of destruction. And He is going to escort us home. Praise God for that. He is going to escort us home and show us sights along the way. Have you ever been there? No. Have you seen this? No, no. Everything will be no. Because I has not seen. And one day soon, the King is coming. And it may be sooner for you than you know. The only certainty in life is uncertainty. But there is one thing I'm certain about, and that is Jesus Christ loves me no matter what happens in my life. Would you say amen to that? And I'm saved by the blood of the Lamb. Isn't that good news for you? When I read Acts and I see the miracles that happen, people brought their loved ones for Peter. If they only hit his shadow, they will be healed. Can you imagine that kind of faith? Peter's in town. Let's see if we can get our babies next to his shadow. And we walk around like we have nobody working for us. If God be for us, who can be against us? I don't have anything to worry about. What about my children? Whose children are they? They were lent to you. They don't belong to you. Do you think God loves your children? Is God going to take your children home? If you have implanted and instilled in them the love for Jesus, I guarantee you, prodigals are going to come home. But the problem is there are prodigals in the church that are going to leave. Would you raise your hand with me and say, I do not want to leave. I'm here, Jesus, for the long haul. Amen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, what a wonderful, wonderful God you are. And that our soul knows right well. You are a wonderful God. And you are going to bring from heaven a flotilla of angels
Oh, dear Father, to guide us all the way back to heaven. Oh, what a day that will be. So no matter what the circumstances in our life, today, right now, we belong to you. Keep us from falling. We pray this in Jesus' name. And the whole church said what? Amen. Isn't God good? And I know you all know, "Shall We Gather at the River." How many of you know this song? All right, let's just sing it from heart. "Shall we gather at the river, where bright angels' feet have trod, with the crystal tide forever flowing from the throne of God?" Yes, we'll gather at the river. Oh, thank you, Jesus. The beautiful river. Yes, we'll gather at the river that flows by the throne of God. Oh, my precious people. I don't know how to describe as a pastor anything more precious than Christ. I just don't know. He's so wonderful. And He loves you. He's not going to leave you. He loves you. He loves you when you're going to school. He loves you when you're 80. He loves you. God loves you. He's not against you. His Son died that you might have eternal life. What a wonderful, wonderful God He is. May God bless you. May His face shine upon you. May He give you peace. And may the countenance of Christ rest upon you as you go home today. That's my prayer. In Jesus' name. Thank you for coming. Did you enjoy worshiping Jesus today? God bless you.